Coming up on Colchonero Chat, Atletico Madrid have headed into international break after a poor showing at Anoeta. Now sitting in fifth place, Atletico have work to do before returning to play a little game called the Madrid Derby. We will talk about the game at Real Sociedad, the season so far, and what needs to be improved upon after this. Welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com and a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on the program today, returning to the program, is Ewan McTeer. Ewan, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Yourself?
Doing well, thank you. Good to have you back, and always a pleasure to talk to you, Ewan.
Yeah, good to be back.
So, let's dive right into a rather poor game for Atletico on Saturday at Anoeta against Real Sociedad, a 2-0 win for Sociedad. What were your general thoughts on the game, your general impressions? How poor were Atletico? How good were Sociedad?
To be honest, I wasn't that surprised by the end result. Looking at that game, Real Sociedad had been in a good run of form. Atletico had struggled in the past few away games, especially the post-Champions League ones. And there was sort of a sense of this was going to be a very difficult one to win. And so it proved. It wasn't, just like as in Sevilla, it wasn't a case of, you know, they came close but ultimately lost. They didn't deserve to win at all. Sociedad were better. Atletico Madrid, they weren't terrible, but they just weren't good. And yeah, Sociedad completely deserved the 3 points.
Yeah, I thought that Sociedad were definitely the better team. And just an uninspiring performance. It didn't have much intensity for Atletico. They looked, as the game progressed, it was clear that they looked very tired, and you know they were up against it. Two penalties in the second half, both of which were, you know, pretty easy calls. Gabby, the first penalty he's conceded ever in league play, which is pretty impressive. It's nearly 400 appearances.
Yeah, that's not bad going.
Yeah. What in particular about Sociedad impressed you? Because I was impressed with just about everything. They're a very different team at home than they are away. I thought they were excellent in the midfield. They played a bit of 4-3-3. Their wing play was excellent, and they caused a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I think especially David Zurutuza and Asier Yarramendi in the middle, they were just fantastic, and I think they have been for weeks. Just providing that out ball in the midfield, the defenders can pass it to them, the wingers can pass it inside to them, and then they're taking their time, slowing the pace down, and then they're playing fantastic passes, spreading it around to the wings, to the forwards. They're just the engine room of that team, and they're both playing fantastically well at the moment, and they just dominated the midfield. I think Real Sociedad's best play came in the midfield from those two players, and I think Atletico's worst area of the field was their midfield. I think Koke and Gabby, Saul as well, they really struggled to get the ball off them. So, I mean, defensively, besides conceding the penalties, Atletico weren't that poor in defence. Up front, Griezmann and Gamero, they always looked like they had something in them. But I felt it was the Atletico's midfield that really let them down, whereas Real Sociedad's midfield was their strength.
Yeah, they were definitely able to control the game. Yarramendi has been so impressive since coming back from Real Madrid. And their three-man midfield of Xabi Prieto, Yarramendi, Zurutuza just really controlled the ball and controlled the tempo, worked very hard. And Sociedad managed 60% possession. And Atletico had lately been managing a lot more possession and a lot more offensive play. Was not the case on Saturday. You wrote a column after the game about Atletico's away form and how it may be of concern. Could you talk a little bit about that and what you've seen from them lately away from the Calderon, and if it is a long-term concern?
Yeah, well, discussing it, I mean, this is some of the worst away form they've ever had under Simeone, but you look at the fixtures they've played and it's sort of understandable. I mean, they've already been, besides the away game to Leganés, which they should have won and which they were the better team, all of the other games were difficult locations to go. They went to Celta Vigo, to Barcelona, Valencia, Sevilla, and now Real Sociedad. All of these teams are likely to be pushing for European places if they're not already competing in Europe this season. The problem, I think, is not just that they've only won two of their six away games in La Liga, which is which is not great. But the problem is they haven't looked convincing in for the 90 minutes of any of them. They ended up beating Celta Vigo 4-0, but that was quite a strange game. At halftime, they were probably the worst team, and then they had a 20-minute period in the second half where they just blitzed Celta Vigo and managed to come out with that one. And it was similar against Valencia. They weren't at halftime. It was quite an even game. They'd missed a penalty, but other than that, Atletico hadn't looked particularly impressive, and they managed to grind it out with the 2-0 result. Probably flatters them a little bit because it was Gamero's goal right then. So it is quite concerning, I think, that yeah, they have played some difficult away fixtures, but they haven't looked that convincing in any of them. If you include the Champions League games as well, they went to Rostov and Eindhoven and were arguably quite lucky to get those two wins as well.
Yeah, especially the PSV game, which was a pretty wild set of circumstances. I think a lot of this is down to the slate Atletico. As you mentioned, they've been to Balaidos, they've been to the Camp Nou, they've been to Mestalla already, Sanchez, Pizjuan, and now Anoeta. And the big three have dropped, they've collected only 19 of a possible 45 points at Anoeta the past, I think, 5 years. That's not a great ratio. So these are very difficult stadiums Atletico have gone to, and I think a lot of teams will be hard-pressed to get more than the 7 points Atletico have gotten to this, they accrued. However, some of the performances are a bit concerning. They haven't been truly convincing. I thought they were excellent against Celta and Barcelona in the second half of both games. The Sevilla game was poor. The Valencia game was a little uneven at times. But the form has not been entirely convincing. However, it's a very difficult slate to ask of anyone.
Yeah. The only thing I would say about that, though, is we can say that it's a difficult run of away fixtures, which is true, but that only comes back in Atletico's favour if Barcelona and Real Madrid then go to these places and drop points.
Right.
And you look at some of the, I mean, Barcelona and Real Madrid have had slightly easier away games so far, but you look at the hard ones they have had, and they've got the wins. Real Madrid went to Real Sociedad and they won. Barcelona went to Sevilla and they won. So it's only a positive for Atletico that they've got these tough games out of the way if we assume Barcelona and Real Madrid are going to drop points down the line. But so far, the big two have actually, even the Valencia game Barcelona went to with a ton of injuries, they managed to escape that one as well with a win. So the advantage of playing these tough games early on only comes to fruition if Real Madrid and Barcelona also drop points, but so far they haven't really been.
True. And this is a kind of a supposition that Atletico will collect all these points in the second half of the season.
Sure.
And the good news is, I think Atletico will get all these teams at home in 2017, but now you have to collect all these points. Of these six teams that they will be hosting in Madrid, they need to win five of these games now, because they're now 6 points behind Madrid. They're in fifth place, out of the Champions League places. Still so much football to be played, but the form has not been convincing ever since the last international break, which Atletico entered as leaders. They came back, shelled Granada, but have really had some issues in defense, and it's something we're not used to seeing with the Simeone side. They've conceded 6 goals in the last 6 games, which is almost unheard of in the Simeone era.
Yeah, it's been strange to see them leaking goals, especially considering they started the season so well. They had, as usual, they were best defense in the top 5 European leagues, and then it's really over the last 2-3 games that they've started to leak the goals. Which against Malaga, they managed to overpower Malaga and come back with their strong attack. But it's shown in the 2 away games that they aren't quite at the level of being able to overpower teams and outscore teams if the defense has a slightly off day.
Do you think it's as simple as Atletico are switching to a more attacking style, or do the issues run a little deeper than that?
I think it comes back to the point of the midfield being one of the sort of weaker points in the last few weeks. Atletico's back line, Savage played fantastic in Anoeta at the weekend. Godin has not been his exceptional self, but he's still been one of the best defenders in the country. And then you've got the right back duo, and the full back duo, and they've also been playing just as well as as we're accustomed to. So there's not been that many poor performances, I'd say, in the back four, but the back four are under a greater siege, I think, than ever before, partly because there's something slightly wrong in the centre of midfield, and partly also because Atletico are pushing up further than they maybe have done in other seasons, and they're leaving the back four a little bit more exposed.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And there's a player in the midfield who's concerning me is Saul. His form has been very up and down. He's endured a very inconsistent start to the season. And really, his best game might have been that Malaga game. Also played well against Bayern Munich in the Champions League. But in the past month or so, he has really had only one, maybe two good games. What's going on with Saul, you think?
Yeah, it's a strange one. I mean, like, since his injury, he's never really come back the same player. He's still trying to find that intensity. I think the problem as well is that there's not really an option from the bench to replace him when he's not been having a great game. I mean, they brought on Correa a couple of times, but again, Correa's been in a sort of bad patch of form. So there's not really, when Saul's not been playing well last season, there was always somebody they could bring off the bench and to put in for him. But I think the special of some of the, you're starting to see now, is that the injuries to Augusto Fernandes, he's, at the time, he didn't seem that serious because he wasn't really going to be in the starting 11. But now it's looking, when some of the players are out of form a little bit, there aren't that many options, especially in the midfield, to bring on from the bench.
Yeah, I wrote at the time that Augusto's injury was going to be pretty meaningful. A unique player in Atleti's midfield, and would be really important to give certain players some time off. And I thought he was missing against the Sevilla game. I thought Augusto would have been really important against Sevilla, and he would have been important against Sociedad, but Atletico were going to have to find another solution.
Yeah, you saw that against Sevilla when he brought on when Simeone brought on Thiago. And you think that he, in that situation, he ideally was wanting to bring on Augusto, but obviously he had to go, you know, one more name down the pecking order and go for Thiago. And his impact when he came on was minimal.
Yeah, it's still a solution that Simeone needs to find. Antoine Griezmann has had some criticism leveled his way lately for not scoring very many goals. We've talked about it on the blog and on this podcast that it's not of great concern, at least it shouldn't be of great concern. How concerned are you that Griezmann hasn't scored in the league in a month, did not play particularly well Saturday? He usually plays very well against his old team.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned because he's still busy, he's still creating space for other players, and with that sort of three-pronged attacking force they have now of Gamero, Griezmann, and then Carrasco a little bit behind. When Griezmann's maybe not having his best day, one of the other two players tends to be, you know, on form. So it's he's always keeping the eye of the defence, always creating things. And, you know, some of the goals that we've seen, he might not even have been getting that many assists in the past few weeks, but he's always been the one that's been providing the assist of the assist. He's been the one that's dragged the player out wide and opened up the space for Carrasco to come in and hit a shot from the edge of the box. So he's been involved, he's just not been involved as much in the sort of headline stats. So no, I've not been particularly worried about his form.
Yeah, I agree. And many fans just want to see the goals and not really much else. But Simeone has said before how much Griezmann contributes, how he does thousands of little things that help Atletico go. And what was weird about the Sociedad game was that really none of Carrasco, Gamero, and Griezmann played particularly well. Gamero was pulled with about 25 minutes to go. He hit the post. If he scores that goal, maybe the game is different. But Carrasco didn't play particularly well, and Griezmann was probably the best of the three, but it wasn't really a banner day for that trio. Quick thing on Gamero, really. Simeone seems to have a bit of a quick hook with him. Whereas if Gamero doesn't really produce in the first 60-65 minutes, he's hooked for Fernando Torres. Have you noticed this? Do you think there's anything to it? It's something I've kind of been curious about.
Yeah, I think it sort of goes back to what we were talking about, the sort of lack of options on the bench for midfield. Mm. Whereas in attack, they have one still fantastic option in Torres. So where he might be tempted to keep Gabi, Saul, Koke on, even if they're having a bit of an off day, because he doesn't have anyone else to come on. He knows that if Gamero isn't, you know, on top form, he's got a fantastic option to bring on from the bench. And I think in some of the early games, especially the Leganés game, I think he waited a bit too long before making that switch. So it makes perfect sense to me if Gamero's not firing, you know, take him off, put on the fresh legs of Torres, put on, you know, a slightly different type of player, and you give him enough time to make an impact. So I don't think it's a massive slight on Gamero. It's just that he has a really good option on the bench.
And Torres has been mostly good. And when this works, Simeone's hailed as a genius. And when it doesn't work, he's not. That's just the way it goes. It's just how fickle some supporters are. So go ahead.
And in the Rostov game, for example, when Torres started, I thought he was excellent. He adds that extra bit of height in the box, and some of the crosses that were coming in, he was just a whisker away from about two or three of them, and he was just causing chaos in the Rostov defence, which is exactly what he offers slightly differently to Gamero, who's just that little bit shorter.
Yeah, it's a different option, and Simeone has known Torres longer, and he can go to him. He can go to Correa as well. Carlo Correa has played a little bit more in a wider position. Correa's consistency, I think, is going to be pretty important, and also his ability to stay out of trouble is going to be important.
Yeah, I think with Correa, it's been, I think when he was taken off at halftime in the away game in Rostov, after he missed those two sitters in the first half, he's not really been the same player since, and I think he's one of those players that needs to feel confident, a little bit like Carrasco as well. When he's in form, when he's feeling good, he can be special. But since he got taken off at halftime in that game after missing those two, you know, two really good chances, and you saw Simeone visibly appalled on the touchline when those didn't go in, I think he's not been the same since then, and I wonder if that's weighing on his mind a little bit, those couple of misses and the fact that he's had a little bit less playing time since then.
I think it's something worth keeping in mind. So Real Sociedad with a 2-0 win, the penalties from Carlos Vela and Julian Jose on two penalties, bit of a strange one. First time Atletico have conceded two penalties in quite some time. I believe it had been 5 years since Atletico conceded two in a game.
Yeah, but as we said at the top of the show, it's none of them were contentious at all. They were both clear penalties,
right?
And yeah, I mean, it happens sometimes.
Carlos Vela got one. Julian Jose got another. Sociedad, very impressive at home. And yeah,
but one of the things I would say about the penalties is, again, I mean, I don't know if Oblak saved the one against PSV, but every time, I mean, there's been so many missed penalties this season across Spain, but every time someone stands up to take one against Oblak, you always think it's going to go in. And I had flashbacks of that Champions League final when, I think it was Vela's one, where again, he hardly moved from the spot when Vela was taking it. And again, Oblak, for the fantastic goalkeeper he is, when it comes to penalties, he's probably one of the players you have less confidence in saving it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And he is such an excellent goalkeeper. He's one of the world's best at his young age, but just can't string some
penalties. You're just calling out for him to just pick a side and just, you know, have a go. But he always seems to be sort of trying to hold on that extra second and, dive the way he thinks the player should be up to shoot. But if you just pick a side, you know, every now and then you're going to save one of them.
Yeah, and these were good penalties, to be fair, especially Vela's. I thought Vela's penalty was beautifully done, very well taken.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it was just strange that he, again, just sort of seemed a little bit rooted to the spot.
Yeah, so that's something that Oblak definitely needs to improve upon. And otherwise, Sterling's resume has kind of been blunted by that. So, looking at the table now, Atletico are back into fifth place. A month ago, Atletico were leaders. They are no longer. Real Madrid on 27 points, followed by Barcelona on 25, Villarreal on 22. Villarreal, very, very impressive this season. Really enjoyed seeing them. Now have the best defense in the division.
Yeah, I mean, they've been looking good, especially considering the turmoil they had at the start of the season. I think Brandon Scriba's come in and done a fantastic job there. And yeah, they look like a... Well, it remains to be seen how long that run will go on for. I think they've had slightly easier fixtures to start off with. But yeah, they look like they're going to be up there battling for that fourth spot or something more.
Yeah, they've already gone to Madrid. They drew with Real Madrid. They drew with Sevilla. Have not played Barcelona or Atletico yet. So it will be interesting to see how they do there. Sevilla are fourth on 21 points. Atletico fifth, also on 21, but Sevilla have the head-to-head tiebreaker. Real Sociedad on 19 points and in sixth. And Sociedad are a team that has always had a lot of talent. Motivation has been an issue for them. Finding the right manager has been an issue. But Eusebio might be the guy. This is a team with Europa League talent, a squad with Europa League depth and talent.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this past weekend saw him coach his 38th match in charge of the side, which equals the number of matches Moyes took charge, almost like a full season, but just from November to November. And I think he's taken 12 more points, I believe it is, from his first 38 games in charge. Than Moyes took from the 38 games he coached. So yeah, you can see there's a clear difference from switching that manager. And one other interesting thing was Real Sociedad. I think at one point they had it was 8 of their 11 players were from their youth academy, as was obviously Griezmann, which was fascinating. And I saw someone made the comment that he was actually using more youth players now at Real Sociedad than he did when he was coaching Barcelona B, and they brought in some of the more veteran players to avoid relegation. So he's thriving there. They're playing well under him, and yeah, they look like definitely a kind of Europa League level team.
Yeah, and they certainly have the talent in defense. And Inigo Martinez, perennially underrated. They have some really capable players in midfield. Vela and William Jose up top have been very good. Again, especially at Anoeta, where they really are a different team. It's a 4 wins, a draw, and a loss from 6 home games this season. This is a team that should be up there in the top 6, top 7, along with Athletic, maybe Celta and Las Palmas as well. So they're going to be around.
Yeah, there's no shame in losing that game. The only problem is the main rivals for the title for Atletico, one of them, Real Madrid, has already gone there and took the 3 points. So there's no shame in losing that game, but if Barcelona also go there and finally manage to get a win up there, then all of a sudden that loss does become a problem.
Right. I agree with that. The Sevilla loss particularly, there really was no shame in that. You played in Russia in midweek, flew back and played at Sevilla, where really almost no one other than the home side wins. Then you hosted Rostov. You had to fight till the very end just to get the win. And you had to travel to Anoeta, where it's difficult for the bigger sides to win.
Yeah, and it seems like they don't like the rain these days. I mean, both those losses came in torrential rain in Sevilla and San Sebastian. So, which is strange, because Atletico have always seemed to me like one of the teams that thrive when it's a little bit, when the conditions are a little bit more muddy. But I don't know if that played a factor at all. I think it was just good play from Sevilla and Real Sociedad, and slightly off days from Atletico, but yeah, I think Atletico fans might now be checking the weather forecast a bit more keenly.
Possibly. I think it has like a minimal effect perhaps on, you know, the way they move the ball, the short passing, quick passing. It has an effect on that, but these were tough games after, you know, both losses came after games against Rostov. There's a debate as to just how good that Rostov team was and how much they challenged Atletico. These losses came after two difficult games against Rostov.
Yeah, I mean Rostov, for the lack of quality, I guess, that they have, they were, you know, set up very defensively, very structured, and they were just a difficult team to break down. I mean, there were a few of the corners that were coming in that home game there, and you know, all 11 Rostov players were in the box. So that gives you an idea of just how difficult it was to break down that team. And yeah, they had to keep going right to the end, whereas I think Simeone might have been hoping for a slightly more comfortable win, and he could hook some players with half an hour or so to go.
Yeah. Last thing from this one, man of the match, worst player for Atletico, who did you have?
I think for man of the match for Atletico, I'd give that to Savage. I mean, he made two or three really important blocks, and he just looked really confident in the box. But yeah, when you're giving it to the centre back, that kind of tells you that the team's not had a fantastic day. So
yeah,
I'd probably give the man of the match. And in terms of the worst player of the match, I think I might have to give that one to Gabby this time. Not just for the penalty, but just overall in the game, he was second to almost every ball. And when he did have the ball, he really struggled to kind of spread it out in the way that he usually does.
Fair enough. I had Savage for best player as well. I thought Savage and Godin were both very good, but I slightly edged it to Savage, which is good because Savage had been kind of in a rough run of form the past few games. Hadn't really played very well. Had his red card rescinded, so he was able to play on Saturday. For worst player, I would probably have to say Carrasco. Did not really like how Carrasco played. Just kind of lacked that final burst. Kind of lacked intensity. And just wasn't really, played over the 90 minutes, he just wasn't really there. Only two shots, neither of which was on target. Atletico only had two shots on target for the game. So I would give it to Carrasco over Gabby, although neither player was particularly impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so Atletico now on international break. And it's mostly been a successful start to the season. And this is the last international break till March, thank God.
these
things get old after a while. So I wanted to ask you, what have been the most successful, most surprising, in general, best parts of the season so far, and what have been the things that Atletico really need to work on, not only ahead of the Madrid derby, but for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think for me the most impressive thing of this team to start the season has been the continued play of the fullbacks. I think both of them are now 31. And they were both fantastic, especially down the stretch last season on that Champions League final run. And you almost feared that having missed out on that Champions League final, that was maybe a last chance for them to really stay at that level and contribute in the way that they had been doing over the last couple of years. But I think since the start of the season, Felipe Luis and Juanfran have been two of the best, most consistent players for Atletico. And that's been encouraging to see that, for all the young talent they have coming through, that's just coming in to improve the squad. But the old guys are still plugging away and contributing without a drop off in level. So that's been really encouraging for me.
Yeah, and unbeaten until the end of October, that surprised me. And just how, not necessarily revitalized, but how good Juanfran still looks and how good Felipe still looks. They're just so good. Gamero fitting in so easily has surprised me, considering the recent travails of strikers Atleti have brought in. Gamero really took off right away, played so well against Alaves, was unable to score, but he's fit in so well with Griezmann and Carrasco. Carrasco's improvement has really been surprising as well. I did not think he would become this good this fast. He's always been a crucial player. Starting in the middle of last season, he became a crucial player. But the goal-scoring burden he has helped take off Griezmann has been huge.
Yeah, that's been really encouraging to see. You always knew that he had a potential, but for him to sort of start showing it already was a little bit more accelerated than I guess most fans expected.
What have been some disappointing things? The defense has looked a little different as Atletico have played a bit more open and have had some freak goals scored against them, oddly enough. What have been some disappointing things that need to be worked on?
Yeah, I think the inconsistency in attack and scoring goals has been one of the things that's been most troubling. I mean, they can go and hit four against Malaga, seven against Granada, and the number of times they've really turned it on and unleashed the goals has been impressive. But then there's also been those games against Alaves where they couldn't score from open play, Leganes as well, Sevilla, Real Sociedad. So, I mean, if you average all the goals they've scored out, I imagine it's roughly the same as they were at this stage last season. But they just seem to be concentrating them into those few games where they really turn it on, and then there's been some matches where they've really struggled. So if they, you know, you'd be looking for them to spread that out a little bit more, and, you know, just consistently be scoring one or two a game rather than be relying on the momentum of scoring one or two early to unleash the goals.
This has been, I think, less of a problem in the Champions League. Against Bayern Munich at Lesko were extremely impressive and really shut that game down. Against Rostov as well, just the one goal conceded on a defensive error. And you're right, that is a good point, that it's about the same amount of goals they conceded last season. Atletico are on pace for 86 goals scored, a plus 60 goal difference. That's huge. And over a full season, those numbers are going to work out to a team that will finish third, second place, and that's huge. There are still things to work out, but I think we can't really lose sight of that this is still a team that's in very good shape, despite some of these kinks defensively that some fans are not used to seeing from a team with such sound defensive structure. Some of these goals couldn't be helped, like the Sandro goal again from in the Malaga game, the Cuenca goal, in the Granada game. Those goals can't be helped, but you can't make some of the errors that they made against the second goal that Camacho scored in the Malaga game was a rough one to concede. Rostov's goal was tough, and then no goals from open play on Saturday, but two penalties conceded. It's just a matter of discipline and trying to find a way to maintain structure, despite, you know, when you're trying to open up more, which Atletico are doing and have had to do.
Yeah, I truly agree with that. There's some of those goals that they have conceded are just, you know, they've let in some special goals and they've scored some special ones as well. But yeah, the timing of some of the more avoidable goals has been a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, it's. So there are things that Simeone needs to consider. Again, Atletico are in fifth place, but we do advise that there is a lot of time left, 27 rounds to go, and Atletico are only 4 points out of second, six behind Madrid in first, but 4 points out of second, and just one out of third, so plenty of time remaining.
Yeah, it's very close up.
Yeah, a quick question we got from our own Martin Connolly. Do you think Simeone will be tempted to rotate against Eindhoven in the Champions League against PSV Eindhoven in the Champions League? Because I've started thinking he might not rotate in that game. What do you think?
I think with Bayern having won all the games since the one at the Calderon, I think he knows now that they're going to have to get a result in Germany. Whereas before, when it looked like they might have had a chance to seal it before that final match day, I think he might have really went for that to pick up as many points as he could against all the teams, Rostov, Eindhoven. But the fact that it now looks like whatever happens, they're going to have to go to Germany and pick up a result, I'm not so sure that he'll focus on that Eindhoven game just as seriously as he did in the past. Especially, I think they're away again the following weekend. I think it's Osasuna, so it shouldn't be too difficult. Although Osasuna now have a new coach, you never know how that changes things, but you never want to go to an away game fatigued at all. And again, that will be a Wednesday game, not a Tuesday one, so there's even less recovery time. So I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a few changes, just like the Rostov game. I mean, he gave Langfran a rest, Gamero had a rest at the start, and he might do something similar, rest a few players, but, you know, have them there in case it gets a little bit sticky later on.
Barring Rostov doing something to the tune of playing well enough to get a point, which could happen. Tough place to go in Russia, almost cost Atletico. And barring something like that, it's going to come down to the final day in Munich. And I think Simeone would love to be in a position where you're ahead 3 points, you're 3 points clear on the final match day. Bayern need to win in order to take the group. A draw would be fine, and that's it's just after international break, so maybe he could make a change or two. Would not surprise me if he did, but I think the core of that Once will be his best players. That's sort of what I'm thinking. There will be a temptation to maybe Vrsaljko gets another start. Would love to see that. He played very well against Rostov.
Yeah, he was impressive.
He was very good.
And yeah, I think if he plays, then I think there's a good trip for Torres playing as well, because I think he played 12 crosses into the box, Vrsaljko, in that game, and most of them were towards the head of Torres because he was the presence in the box. So I think if one of them plays, you would probably play the two of them together, because they came very close to linking up in a few of those. Some of the balls curled in were absolutely perfect. He was using both his feet as well, right foot, left foot, and curling those crosses in. So that was definitely a new sort of threat that Juan Franfer, as slick as he's been with his through balls, especially pairing up with Koki towards that right hand side, some of his crossing into the box through the air hasn't been quite as accurate as those ones we saw from Vrsaljko against Rostov.
Yeah, and I thought his performance was so impressive, and his crossing was uncannily accurate. I was surprised to see just how good his passing and his crossing were. It needs a little work defensively, but that's going to come with time. I'm in a Simeone team. That's going to come with time. Now, does Simeone need to rotate? Does he need to rotate better after these games, after these losses away to Sevilla and Sociedad? I don't think so. I think those were kind of circumstantial, in that you played two tough midweek games. One of them was in Russia. What do you think? Does he need to rotate after these games?
No, again, I wouldn't say he does. I mean, both of those, like I was saying earlier, the Sevilla and the Real Sociedad losses weren't overly surprising, to be honest, coming after midweek games away from home against two really informed teams. It wasn't that surprising that they lost. And sort of what I was mentioning earlier about Korea, I think a lot of these players are eager after a disappointing result to get back in action and improve themselves again. Whereas when Correa had that poor first half against Rostov, he was sort of hooked from action for a wee while, and I think that maybe dampened his. Some of the players can play on and overcome a loss, they're experienced enough, but I think with some of these young players, like Carrasco, for example, after that Real Sociedad game, I don't think you want to rest him, rotate him the next time out, because he'll be desperate to prove that that was just a one-off. And if you leave him out for too long, then you could risk sort of dampening his confidence, and his informed streak could go out the window.
Yeah, and this is a side that bounces back, that knows how to bounce back. Going to be a difficult game to bounce back in, the Madrid derby just after international break. We'll be covering it on the blog, of course. We'll be talking with our pals at Managing Madrid about it. But that's become a must-win game. It pretty much has become a must-win game, because if you lose, you're now 9 points behind Madrid. A draw, not terrible, but still 6 points. Madrid 6 points clear. Win this game, and Atletico are back in the title race. So I think there will be motivation to improve, especially after what happened in May, another Champions League final loss. I think there will be a temptation, more of an obligation, really, to play much better.
Yeah, especially with that one coming at home, that's the pressure's all on Atletico, I think, for that one. If Real Madrid escape, given their recent record against Atletico, if they escape with anything, even a draw from that game, they'll be happy. And even if they lose, I don't think they'll obviously have ended their unbeaten run, but I don't think they'll be too disheartened by losing this fixture, which they've struggled in the past. But if Atletico fail to win, that puts extra pressure on them to go and get a result at the Bernabeu later in the season, which they've had fantastic recent success there, but you wonder how long they can keep that up.
Definitely. Last thing for today, as I'm sure you know, as everyone knows, the United States elected a new president last night in one Donald J. Trump. You wrote a feature piece last month on These Football Times about Spanish football's own Donald Trump. About Jesus Gil, the former owner of Atletico Madrid, former president, rather. Could you talk a little bit about this feature and about Jesus Gil and the similarities with Donald Trump and how he is responsible, or was responsible, well, technically still is, responsible for the debt Atletico face and just what he did to the club?
Yeah, I mean, the similarities between the careers are striking. If anyone fancies checking it out, I think if you Google these football times and Jesus Heel, Donald Trump, it'll come up. But yeah, they both worked in construction, and both had a reputation for outrageous comments to the media, and then both went into politics. Jesus Heel became the owner and president of Atletico Madrid, and he became the mayor of Marbella, and he left both of those institutions in quite a state. The city council of Marbella had to be taken over by the federal government because the finances were in such a bad state when he left, which was unprecedented post-Civil War. And with Atletico, they're still feeling the effects of that debt. And his son is now the majority shareholder and owner, yep. Miguel Hill. And he's not like his father, but there is still they're still feeling the effects of that mismanagement. And it should also be pointed out, he acquired the club. It was found to be illegal the way he acquired those shares, but the statute of limitations had ran out by the time it went to court, and so his family kept the shares. So it's worrying to see the potential next chapter of Donald Trump's career if it follows the footsteps of Jesus Heel. But hopefully for you guys across the pond, then this is where the roads of their career might fork.
Yeah, it was pretty wild events last night, and both very colorful characters. It's a good overview of Jesus Heel. By the way, in your feature, the Napoleon Dynamite reference, loved it. Really well done.
Need to sneak that in every now and then.
So yeah, this is the feature on Jesus Heel is on These Football Times. Make sure you read it. Ewan wrote it. Highly recommended. That's all we have for today. Follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. Ewan, what is your Twitter handle for the kind people to follow you at?
It's E McTear, E-M-C-T-E-A-R.
Beautiful. Follow Ewan, like us on Facebook, Into the Calderon, and we will be back. Actually, not sure when we'll be back. It's international break. We do like our time off, so we will be back at some point, likely next week, to start gearing up for the Madrid Derby. Thanks so much for listening. We will catch you next time. Adios.